It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Hunt and Fish Club here at Times Square, everybody. Good evening, and thank you for coming in for Mooch and the Misses. Thanks, everybody, for coming in today to Manhattan. I'm Neil A. Caruso, the producer of Mooch and the Misses, also a producer at WCBS News Radio 880. And we're welcoming all of our radio.com family today because Kathy Wakeeling and Jacqueline Larita are launching a new podcast, and they'll be on our first anniversary podcast in a moment. Congratulations, Jacqueline and Kathy. So a lot of people ask me how this whole thing came together. So I'll give you a little run through. Of course, the secret is Anthony really hasn't been in the news too much lately, and we have to get some news attention.
Who's Anthony?
The Mooch.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone knows him by that. So over the past year, the show has really evolved. We came in. I met them on September 11th, actually, of last year. And Anthony and Deirdre and I bonded right away over our New York roots, over the Mets. I apologize to our first guest. I'm a big Mets fan, as is Anthony. But Deirdre, we'll cover that on the podcast. And over the past year, things have evolved. Welcome them in. Big thanks to Tim Scheld, our program director at WCBS, who has opened up his studio to everybody, to Anthony and Deirdre every week. They come in. We talk about politics. Sometimes we agree. Sometimes we don't. Then the president tweeted at him. Things got interesting. That was recently. My phone hasn't been the same. And we've had a lot of fun doing this, had a lot of great reaction from people. And the past year has really been exciting. I'm going to play some moments now of the show so you can hear how this whole year has evolved. And then Anthony and Deirdre will come up and we'll start our second year of Mooch and the Misses on radio.com.
You there?
The Mooch is in the house.
He then very nonchalantly says, yeah, so, you know, we did a strike force mission. We killed everybody in the terror cell. But he said it like, matter of fact, like, do you want cream?
Like if I went to...
Yeah, do you want cream in your sugar?
To the grocery store.
We killed
store.
Everybody in the terror cell. I was like starting to go away. I'm like, man, I'm so glad I patched it up with you, General.
What did Kellyanne Conway say?
No, I mean, when I got to the White House that first day, she said, give me your phones, and she shut off my notifications on all social media. She said, never look at them again.
Right. That's perfect.
That didn't stop me. That did not stop me, by the way.
I don't think it should be a political thing. I think it's a human thing. And I think people need to come together.
Couldn't agree more. Very, very, very tragic. And at the end of the day, when we see things like this, we have to step back and think of
our families.
Children.
Yeah.
We've got to figure out a way to dial back this rhetoric and dial back this hatred.
His attitude is, I'm 73 years old. I was a reality television star, a business mogul, a billionaire. I've had businesses all over. I've crashed and burned and rose again. I went from being a reality television star to the American presidency in 17 months, slayed all these people. What could you possibly tell me that I could learn from?
All right, so we have the conservative god on the line.
Oh, my God. He's a conservative god. He's literally one of my best friends.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, Deirdre does not get second billing here. It's not Mooch and the Misses. It's Deirdre and the Mooch.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Now, that's gonna, that's going to be the
mind,
name change if
is.
They keep me on the show before they blow my ass off it.
Well,
all right, so we should probably introduce you. Everyone recognizes your voice because you have an internationally recognized voice. But
everybody refuses to call Sean Hannity. I had numerous conversations with Sean Hannity at Fox, and Sean Hannity said...
Okay,
ahead,
so
Nikki.
Say something to the people. Say hi.
Say hi.
Say, I'm Nikki Scaramucci.
I'm Nikki Scaramucci. I'm with my mommy and dad.
Legend in the house. Number
Me?
Five. Well, yeah, you're a legend.
In my
by
own
the
mind.
Way, number five, ladies and gentlemen.
The best number ever.
The Mets captain. My wife born on May 5. David Wright.
Sorry, I'm a Yankee fan, but I love you, David. But
no worries. No worries. Nobody's perfect.
No.
Oh! Finally, there's a male. It's a sausage party.
Right?
It's a sausage party.
Listen,
we finally
though.
finally have a male on the line.
No,
taking
it's
a shot
all about
at Mrs.
the male.
Let me go take a look at page 6. Oh, there's my beautiful wife on page 6. Okay, so what say you, Beth?
Anthony
let me move my microphone closer to yours. Go ahead.
Okay, you don't want to.
I'm listening.
You want to read? You went to Harvard.
No. Go ahead.
I didn't make it without you. Not yet.
Not yet.
But I will blow you out of the water.
Oh, you're gonna blow me out of the water?
Bigfoot.
You're gonna bigfoot me?
Anthony would love for me to do the show.
I think it'd be yes. I'd have a lot of fun. I just hope that my Trump affiliation, if I can be totally candid, because I know a lot of people in Hollywood dislike the orange man. So
right,
I just hope my Trump affiliation doesn't, like, the Cheeto stains on my hands or not on your hands.
We are Mooch and the Misses, live from Vegas with Maria Menounos, a very special guest. I finally have someone who's on my wavelength on this podcast.
I love
it. It's always
it.
Like me and some, like, 55-year-old man. Wink, wink.
Rocky's quote gets me through so much. It ain't about how hard you hit. About how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take.
Do you know Sylvester Stallone?
I do. He's a dear friend, and when I came out of surgery, that was the first thing I said. I started quoting Rocky.
Okay, let me ask Uncle Neil, the 200-year-old, 23-year-old. You know who Luciano Pavarotti is? Or some other
marinating.
Marinating. How do you say it?
Marinating.
Marinate. Okay.
Well, okay, so you're saying that
you want me to start talking about you and you'll go bright red, Uncle Neil. Okay.
So
you're talk about you and your sexual escapades?
What?
I know your mother's listening. Look how
Anthony.
Look how red he's getting.
Oh, God, don't do that.
Look at
him. Oh, my God. Neil, it's called deny.
Cherry red.
Deny.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You are redder than the red light on my microphone right now. Okay?
Anthony can teach you about denying things.
Oh,
get with him
God.
After this.
Why are you tired?
We just are tired, people.
You're having like 3 a.m. sex?
Mm-hmm.
Like assaulting your husband at 3 a.m.? Is that why?
Well, that's last night's problem.
Life's fantasies.
What? That wasn't a fantasy. It was real.
Were you trying to say now that there was collusion?
Look, he's got a new one.
You're trying to say that it was... You're trying to
it was totally collusion. There was no obstruction. There was lots of collusion. That's why I was very... Sexual escapades. I'm in a great mood right now.
No underwear, no thongs.
I'm talking about my sex life on a podcast. Neil's going red.
Alone.
I talk about Neil's lack of sex life. He goes red.
Not that anyone cares, but it's our 5-year anniversary. I'm trying to figure out if we... Should we deduct 1 year, though?
It wasn't a whole year. Here you go again with the whole divorce shenanigans, okay? It was a couple of months of fighting and fiasco.
Okay.
Okay, just the fact that you were tabloided on the New York Post added like, it was like dog years. It's like the 3-month fiasco. Is that good? No? You like that?
Oh my God. Okay, let's move on.
No, stop
this
with the collusion and no collusion. We're doing collusion right now. Right
people
now, I'm
been.
Like, my wife is like loving my ass again, so let's just focus on the collusion. Well, let me ask you
something. Don't you ever lose this, lady, because I tell you what, you'll never, ever, 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 you've gone up in category class. You'll never find a beauty like Deirdre. Make a move, because I'll make a move on you, pal.
I tell America, where else
Natalie
could I live in the same bedroom, Natalie, as Lindsay Lohan's mom, Dina, and not get in trouble with my wife, Deirdre, right? Only the Celebrity Big Brother house, right?
Growing your relationship, improving your relationship. So for me, communication, empathy, I think is a very big thing for a relationship. And the last thing is like understanding...
Sex.
Well, yeah, of course. Remember, sex is on top of the whole thing.
That you put away, that you don't utilize.
It's like masks.
Yeah.
You wear different masks,
yes.
You know?
So when you get that out...
Can we talk about sex at some point? I'm just curious.
Well, that is a huge part of a relationship, because like, if you're not having sex, you're just friends.
And that's where that side of most people is.
Alonzo and I have thought about sex in the last 15 minutes, 456 times each.
Well, I think he's sexually deprived, though.
I am a young, vibrant man.
Wow, I didn't know it was this kind of show. Tell me more.
Oh, my God, you should have been here last week.
Holy cow. Okay.
I think it's a national, international tragedy. He's got no poo-tang in the last 2.5 years. We're here now. What are the lessons learned, baby? You know, what are the lessons learned? People listening to this thing,
it's a political podcast, relationship podcast.
What's the lessons?
Well, unless it's your spouse, you should never put all your chips in one basket.
Okay.
Because
lesson number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. If lesson number two, politicians are mean-spirited, ruthless people.
Well,
by
there's
and
a
large,
sub.
Right?
Yeah. So right. there's a 1A, which right. is especially right. if it's a politician.
Right.
Because they mm-hmm. couldn't care less if you lived or died. All they want is your green
right.
team.
Right.
I voted for the guy. We gave him right. a lot of money.
Right.
A lot. You gave up a lot of family time.
Right. Media advocacy, everything. And he dropped you like a hot potato.
Well, he didn't drop me like a hot potato, but he has some balls to come online and talk about me. I'm one of your citizens who voted for you.
That's fascism. That's a political leader using his political power to go after his fellow citizens. That is called fascism. Okay, he is a fascist leader.
This is my suggestion mm-hmm. to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're going to go on this mission, mm-hmm. I think that, again, you never listen to me, but just saying, you should use your, like, stellar intellect and your ability to speak on camera, God-given mm-hmm. ability mm-hmm. to say what you have to say. Don't put up Twitter polls about Dopey Don and who's fat or then William Taft and all that.
Let me just tell you something, okay?
Happening anytime.
If you're out there listening to this podcast and you're a guy, let me just tell you something, okay? If the president's tweeting at your wife, you're not going to have sex that night. I'm just letting everybody know.
Or any other night.
No, any
no other collusion.
Am I in the penalty box over that? Or how long am I in the penalty box for?
And that's where we are. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Anthony and Deirdre Scaramucci Mooch and the Misses.
We are doing this every Tuesday. They need to come hang out with Mooch and the Misses.
That is called fascism. Okay, he is a fascist leader.
He's his own worst enemy. He's creating his own problems. You know, he's like one of those people who can't get out of their own way.
I don't want to be one of those
like kind of
Trump
like,
haters.
Okay,
I just want to make...
Everyone is a product of their upbringing and their personal loyalties. I'm a human being, and I probably got overtaken by the excitement of him winning. The minute you called me to say, boom, as soon as I got that, boom, I called you right back.
Anyway, you lose the argument. All the ladies out there...
My mother's like, why are you cursing so much? I'm like, Ma... Where do you think I learned it from?
We do this podcast. I go into the city. We have dinners together or we'll travel. We spend time to be together as yes. a couple and a family and as business partners. And I feel like it really helps us.
You still love me?
I do.
Okay,
do you still
God.
Love me?
Very much.
Okay. I don't know if you have, I mean, let's
very much my
there.
Liberal, hot wife.
Very liberal.
It's rough.
Yeah,
no?
Very liberal.
I'm normal.
Normal.
That's what it's called, normal. Okay. So now that you heard us ramble for 15 minutes. Hopefully you took something away from that. Thank you, Neil, for making that compilation of our insanity. Now we've been totally exposed. Thank you all for coming and for being here
totally
at 4 p.m.
yet.
On a Tuesday.
Anything can happen in this life. I don't know.
No, we've been totally exposed.
Let's bring up Ryan.
Not by that, by the New York Post.
Yeah.
Are they here?
No. Yeah, no.
I'm scared.
They'll find a way into the basement. Let's bring up Ryan.
We throw all our parties in basements, by the way. We're classy like that. That's the Italian way to do things, okay? So we have some special guests today. Our first guest is Brian Cashman. I had to get some blue blood in. I had to get some Yankee love because it's always about the Mets with Anthony and Neil. And I'm busy brainwashing my kids to be Yankee
Brian
fans.
Brian has broken my heart. 21 seasons with the Yankees.
Yeah.
You could have been a Met GM, Brian.
He's always on the wrong side of everything. Politics, baseball. So he doesn't listen to me.
Jets.
Football, every single thing. So
I was in a house of pain last night, Sid. That was brutal. I was brutal.
Yeah, it was not a good time there. Right. So anyway, we'd like to welcome you up.
Brian Cashman. Brian, sit in there. Yeah, like a moose sandwich here. Sit in the middle.
Come sit down next to me.
Happy to be here.
Okay, so I'm going to let Anthony drive this. I'm going to see if he can go out of his comfort zone and talk about the Yanks.
I love it. First of all, I grew up in this town, obviously, so I remember horse.
What town? What town?
I grew up in New York. I'm a baseball fan, and because I was closer to Shea Stadium, we grew up on Long Island. You take the Long Island Railroad ride to Shea Stadium, it became a Met fan, but always followed the Yankees. 21 seasons. You are the man. Six American League pennants. Four World Series, Brian?
I have 5 rings, but 4 of them since I've been GM, yeah.
Four since you've been GM. And the 5th ring was your deputy
GM? I was the assistant GM, yeah. Under Watson in 96.
96. Yeah. And so, I mean, Deirdre's the diehard fan, but I got to ask you like 2 or 3 quick baseball questions before we move on. I know Deirdre wants to talk about the players, but
about what?
No, the players. The players. Like, which were your favorite? I mean, he may not get it specifically who the favorite players are, but.
Okay. All right. No, I wanted to talk to, like, he could give you tips on how to keep a job longer than 11 days.
Give you tips on
21
years.
Because
he made it 21 seasons. I couldn't even calculate that at, like, mooch time, you know what I mean? Because mooch units are like 11 days.
He's like living into infinity past you. Okay, anyway, go on.
I mean, it's like a full body slam. I mean, it's not even funny. But, okay, but Brian. You build a team, and there's people out here that are corporate people, all different types of people, and it's sort of all the same thing. So what are the mechanisms of building a team?
And you got to hire people smarter than yourself and surround yourself with people smarter than you and be willing to listen and open-minded. So I've been
blessed. Oh, it sounds like the
blessed.
President. You just described the president of the United States.
I've been blessed. We've had great players, therefore we've had great teams, and it's been a nice run. But we hopefully have a strong finish this year in October.
So it's scouting.
Yeah.
It's player development, obviously.
It's a whole bunch of things. It's player development.
Training.
You have your amateur domestic scouting, your international amateur scouting. You have your pro scouting. You have your now in this new world tech order analytics. You have performance science teams. You have your mental skills side. I'm you know, the director of spending for the New York Yankees. So I certainly
I'm the director of spending for Scaramucci.
Well, that's for sure.
So we're both good at what we do then. So
I'm like an excellent spender. Amazing.
So we just got to place it in the right spots and boom, off we go. And so we've got a good shot at some special stuff this October, we hope.
When you think about your different teams, like the 98 team is an example, which was historic team, how does this team compare to some of the other teams that you've overseen?
I mean, it's
got a deep bench, obviously, right?
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of depth. I mean, 98 certainly was special. 125 wins, only 50 losses. It was my first year as general manager, and so it's hard to compare until you finish something off. So right now, regular season wise, we're going to have another 100 win season, which is, you know, remarkable in its own self. But to really truly compare, we have to finish the job, you know, in the next round.
But talk about team chemistry for a second. When the team's gelling, people get hurt, everyone pulls together, rows together. What are those characteristics that you're looking for,
you know,
that
our,
X factor?
Our manager, Aaron Boone, has done an amazing job by building a culture down there. He's got a real slow heartbeat. He doesn't panic. He's not emotional. So I think, you know, our clubhouse reflects his demeanor and the culture he's been pushing. So obviously we've had some devastating injuries throughout the entire year. We've actually, for those who don't follow us, record-setting injuries that have taken out some serious assets along the way that would bring most anybody down, and expectations should be considerably lower. But, you know, he never missed a beat. He never showed any panic. He never showed woes me attitude. It was just more of a next man up. And he tapped into the organizational depth and then plug and play and said, hey, we got this. And it's kind of manifest itself throughout the franchise. And so somehow, some way, we've been able to navigate all these waters and have, you know, a team right now that's on the verge of winning its first American League East title in the last 7 years and another playoff, appearance. And but we've done a lot of good things.
My wife is making eyes at me like she's like – like, you know, laughing at me. Like, as you're saying all these playoff wins and championships, she's like throwing salt to my eyeballs.
I just feel badly.
Want you to know that. You see, you're looking over at me with.
I asked your wife if we can convert you.
Convert me to a Yankee fan?
Yeah.
Never.
Oh,
and I respect that about him because, you know, you don't want like a fair.
No, I mean, it's different from politics. I mean, you know, you have to take the pain as a baseball fan.
No,
in
I don't
politics,
like bandwagon
you're like,
people.
This guy's not working. You got to fire the guy. It's like being an entrepreneur. You know,
well, I came down here to try to convert you. But
you came down to try to
but convert
me?
I'm glad. At least I've half the household.
Oh, I'm very. Don't worry.
I have the director of spending.
My uncle.
She's the director of spending. You may be able to pick up some free agents at the rate that she's spending. Yeah,
so,
you could pick up more free agents.
Oh, I'm not the spender, FYI.
Here she goes. Here she goes.
So did you see Mariano at the White House yesterday?
I did.
Weren't you happy for him?
I was. He's an amazing individual. I mean, I was, you know, I started with the Yankees back in 86, so I kind of came up in the system with Mo, but I came up through the front office. And you know, he has never changed. That's the one thing you see, at least in my world, I know you see it in your world, a lot of people with fame and fortune become different over the course of time. He'd never changed. He's remained the same person he was when we first signed him for very little. And, yes, he's now famous, and he's wealthy, and obviously well-known. And but he is exactly who he's always been, and that's special. Hall of Famer last year.
This past season. Right.
Jeter's going to be in next year. And but, again, he's never been anything but the same guy despite all the success and the rings that he's brought this city.
There's a little bit of trivia about you. You went to high school with Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. What were they like in high school?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Lexington Catholic High.
I should probably read the notes.
Well, I went to I was in high school in Kentucky. I'm a Kentucky boy. Grew up in Lexington, KY, and then I got sent away to boarding school my junior and senior year. So I parachuted into Georgetown Prep in Washington, D.C., and Gorsuch was my classmate, 85, and Kavanaugh was 83. It's a pretty tremendous time frame for Georgetown Prep and the products that they produced. And those guys were destined to some greatness, and we felt that as classmates all the way back then, whether it was going to be a senator, a president, Supreme Court justice. But we've been following their careers since they left, and again, they were, obviously amazing individuals and have accomplished a lot.
Okay, so I have a question. What I noticed in the reel that we were listening to, Anthony talks over me all day, every day, on the podcast, at home, in life, in general. So I'm going to ask a question.
All your family members are agreeing. They're over there. Yeah, that's right.
No, it's a real thing. You have to feel me on this. So you got pulled over, or actually like almost arrested in August. Can you tell us that story? Because that must have been horrifying.
Yeah, I mean, I'll run through it real
quick.
So we're playing the Boston Red Sox in a weekend series at Yankee Stadium. I live in Row 8 in Connecticut, and we beat the Red Sox, thankfully, the whole weekend. So Sunday morning, I wake up to go grab my convertible Jeep. It was a beautiful morning. I was like, I'm going to drop the top down, get a coffee, no Jeep, gone. So I was like, well, it's obviously been stolen. So I called the police. The Norwalk police come in, file the report. About 3 days later, they recover it, believe it or not, in the Bronx. I work at Yankee Stadium, which is in the Bronx. It was about 4.5 miles away on the east side of the Bronx, and it was recovered, not damaged. So I had to go through the processing with NYPD, and once I did, I retrieved the vehicle. And then driving it back to Connecticut, I get pulled over. I'm at a gas station in Darien, and five police cars roll in.
Oh, my God.
they ran my tags. It apparently was never taken off the stolen list. And,
were you at gunpoint?
Yeah,
like
rolled in. They pulled gunpoint. The police body cam footage just got it put out there because of the Freedom of Information Act. And, they had executed what they called.
The GM of the New York Yankees.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's
I used to
you.
See Brook Street Bagels when I was
that's you
cop.
Being held up by the police.
I was a guy with a gun in the doctor's office driving a white Jeep. And then I ran your plate and came back stolen. So that's why all this.
Okay. So, hey, no worries.
I didn't want to say it's Brian Cashman
you
over the radio.
You look pretty shady.
I hear you.
You're
right.
You know.
So anyway, bottom line, in the end of the day, they were looking for somebody, a white male driving a white Jeep simultaneously with a gun. And when they ran the plates, I had a stolen tag. So then they thought I was that person. And so it was all good.
But the weird thing about that guy was he didn't even know he was doing anything wrong or something. Like, he went to the doctor with his gun.
Right.
Who does that? I don't know who does that, but he went to the doctor with his gun, and then he didn't even realize he was like a suspect or something. So he was like two clueless people.
He didn't want to pay the copay. That's what we're hearing in the front.
He didn't have his $20, so he bought his revolver. I don't know, but it was like a weird thing. You both were kind of caught off guard by.
But at the end of the day,
strange weekend.
I would want them to do that. Every time.
I
mean, the police
are
doing everything they can to keep us all safe. So they were keeping themselves safe. That's why they had their guns on me. And they're keeping the community safe. So I give the huge applause to them. And I did what they asked me to do. It was all good. I didn't panic. And and then I just didn't want the body cam footage coming out. So thankfully, I didn't wet myself.
No, you handled it really well, I have to say.
No, thank you.
Kept it cool.
But knowing your career, knowing New York, you had the body cam footage coming out at like 100%, right?
Well, you know, I was more worried. There was a Starbucks right next door. It was like 10 in the morning. It was packed. I had my hands in the air, and it was over the intercom of their squad car. Like, get out of the car, hands in the air. I'm like, and I'm more worried about, I'm embarrassed. I wasn't scared. I was embarrassed because I was like, they're thinking, what am I, Pablo Escobar? Am I, I'm like, people know who I am in this town, and they're like, wow, what did Cash do? And so I was more embarrassed, but I let them figure it all out, and it was all good.
Well, we know you have to run to go win another game. right?
Well, amen. Well, so, we want you to win. I have to say this. I did not root for the Yankees before 9/11. I was a total Met fan, and therefore you had like this whole Yankee envy and everything. After 9/11, I have always rooted for the Yankees, particularly in that World Series with the Diamondbacks. I mean, that was a tough one, actually.
It was tough times. I remember when Giuliani was asking us to do a lot of things, and we were kind of uncertain, like, wow, we didn't feel like we had a part to play. But then we got certainly a lot of education to see how it was a new dynamic to realize how sports does give you a...
It's an outlet.
It's an outlet. You're right. It definitely distracts everybody from, you know, that happens to be... fans, that fandom, because, you know, whether, you know, I remember when my dad was passed away of pancreatic cancer, you know, it allows people that distraction of what troubles them in their lives, and so now you got a real view of what you can do and how you can really impact and change some things along the way, so you got to keep that in mind, and 9/11 obviously impacted so many.
September 10, 2001, the Yankees were playing the Red Sox, and the game got rained out, and so one of my best friends who lived in my town, had he gone to the full game, he would have taken the 9:30 train in and then gone up to the North Tower, 103rd floor at the World Trade Center. So the game got rained out that night. Clemens was pitching, playing the Red Sox. So he took the 7:30 train, and he died in the North Tower of the World Trade Center. And so it just goes to show you the serendipity and how much we all have to enjoy our lives, because we never know what's going to happen to us. But you've had this amazing career. And on behalf of my father-in-law, who would have loved to have met you. He died 5 years ago this month, September 23rd. Diehard Yankee fan. Am I right, honey?
Yes.
Sorry. So on behalf of him, we want to thank you so much for coming down here. And I want the Yankees to win the World Series. Let's go. Well,
thank you so much. Thanks for having
Amen.
Me.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay. What should we talk about now that I'm ruining my makeup?
A lot of pressure on you, brother.
Yeah. Thanks. Is Anthony leaving? I think I'm the more interesting one anyway. What do you guys think?
I can't wait to check the whole thing
This
out.
Is my life. I'm always waiting while he's taking pictures with other people. Mooch? It's very bad for my ego. No, I'm saying when people ask me to take pictures of you with them. And I'm like, I'm
not
cute
that bad
too.
For Trust me, it's not that bad for ego.
All right, ready? Let's talk
I
about something.
I will blow you out of the
Tim,
water.
She has a low ego, Tim? She has a low ego? No, you've experienced
I'm all good.
This
I'm
woman,
all good.
Right? It's not a low ego.
Okay, so let's talk
Trump,
about...
like a small pigeon, the self-esteem. This one is totally fine.
Okay.
Okay, good. You're good.
So what do you want? Well, being that he went to school with Kavanaugh, Brian...
I think, he should stay where he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to talk about Kavanaugh? His
Justice
name's Brian,
Kavanaugh?
Right? I should call him.
I didn't know him, so I don't really have. I didn't have a. But Neil Gorsuch,
no,
I knew.
Yeah, but I'm talking.
I went
about
to law school with Neil.
How Jerry Nadler is telling the Dems to just hush hush and stop talking about him. You know.
Well, you know, look, it's probably politically incorrect, and we'll probably get knocked off of radio.com after I'm done saying all this. But that's
if
fine.
We haven't gotten knocked off yet,
we're going to be okay. But right. I sort of feel that. He probably had some transgressions. I don't know. I was not there, but I'm very worried about our children. Can I tell you guys why? Because they're doing stuff, and they're in the age of social media today. And there's a rite of passage that happens in life where people, unfortunately, at age 16, 17, 18, they probably do some really ridiculous, very regretful things. And so now, if we're going to look through a reverse prism of every person's life and we're going to microanalyze everything that they've done, and then all of a sudden that's going to be a reason to disqualify them from life at some point in the future, I'm personally worried about it. And so if that's against the Me Too movement, it's not meant to be. I totally respect women and the Me Too movement. But I am just worried that we're going to do something that could be very, very damaging to our futures and our children's futures, you know, where we don't, you know, who knows? I mean, I really worry about that. So I don't know. What do you think of that? Should we be judging him from
1981? No, I mean, I know I did a ton of really dumb things, and I still do. And so I think it's just a tough place
to
live.
Well, hopefully
not
showing your pee-pee to people or something like that. I mean, like in a, you know.
No, not today.
He was apparently showing his pee-pee. You know, I don't.
I don't know what I said.
In the front row, I don't remember.
Inappropriate to be showing your pee-pee, but I just think that if you're 17, showing your pee-pee, now you're a Supreme Court justice, let's relax about it. That's just my honest opinion. I don't know.
Okay.
You disagree? Anybody disagree with that?
No, I think we can't go back in time. I mean, people do really silly things, especially when there's alcohol involved, and sometimes when there's not. I mean, look at you.
Look at me. Extremely flawed. But can we talk about Neil Gorsuch for 5 seconds? Because I think
is that
that's
how you say it? Isn't it Gorsuch? Anthony is so smart, but he cannot pronounce people's names.
I grew up in a family that didn't read. I still know how to pronounce things. But Neil was a wickedly smart guy at Harvard and went on to become an amazing judge. And one thing that President Trump, I thought, did a reasonably good job of is he delegated all of the judicial appointments to the Federal Society. And so we had a list of judges that we were going through. And in Neil's case, because I was actually on part of that process, 98% of his court rulings were sustained at the appellate court. So I just want to give you a sense for how hard that is to
Nerd alert. Everyone's sleeping.
Okay. And the other thing is, you know, people won't listen to me on this, but a guy like Neil Gorsuch is my prediction. If you're worried about social issues like gay marriage or a woman's right to choose, they are now so heavily ingrained in the Constitution. For a guy like Neil, he's not a precedent disruptor like some of these other judicially minded originalists, if you will. So I think you're going to be totally fine. You'd be very happy with him. He just wrote a great book called It's a Republic If You Can Keep It. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Okay. Getting back to my speed. So, we're going to bring up some guests. Our second guests are Kathy Wakili and Jacqueline Lurita. Right, we want you to come up. This is some Real Housewives alum from New Jersey. Come up, ladies. Join me. Come sit next to me. I can't get up. I might flash my pee-pee. My dress is really short.
I can't wait to check everything out.
It's good. My husband's right in front of me. So I'm okay. I'm going to steal this.
Anthony's less threatened by everyone since I chopped my hair off. Okay. So,
no, it's
okay,
hot.
Okay, who thinks she looks great with
oh
the hair?
Oh, my God. It's scary, right?
Come on, it's like a supermodel look.
Sexy. Is your mic on? Test your mic. Look.
Is it? Yeah, it's on.
This,
yeah, it's
on. People say, is this thing on?
Yeah, there
right?
we go.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they say. When a woman cuts her hair, that's a woman that's determined to rise. She means
okay,
business.
Well, I'm rising.
Yeah.
Like a good set of yeast. Okay.
Does that also mean that she's like determined to drop the husband if the hair gets better?
No.
I'm just trying to overcome podcast.
You
got
to work harder to keep it.
Yeah, you have a great hair.
I'm working. Before you guys talk about the Real Housewives, has anybody seen this Kentucky Fried Chicken sandwich with the two glazed donuts? Has anybody seen this thing?
But they're all back.
All right, so I had to go on keto after I started the fight with Trump because I don't want him to call me a fat slob on like Twitter. But how hot is that? All right, I mean, you guys are young guys. We got to order a couple of these. All right, go ahead. You talk about whatever you want. I just thought I would bring that up. I've never seen anything like this in my life.
It is.
It's a glazed donut.
Anthony, just so you know, you're talking over now our guests. Okay. So it's not only me.
I'm the same way. I'm so impulsive. So I'm going to talk over him too.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we're used to that.
Girl squad.
Yeah.
You're going to get booted.
Yeah.
All right. So these ladies are joining the Radio.com family with their own podcasts. And so we wanted to introduce them and tell all about what you guys are up to, your new venture. So do you want me to talk or do you want to talk? You guys talk.
So
you're used to this.
Okay.
I got,
not really,
you know,
but okay.
You're professionals behind the camera or in front of the camera.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my new podcast is called Eat, Live, Love, Indulge with Kathy Wakili. That's me. And it's all about the conversations we have around the table, whether it be around the table on location, but it's the food that we're eating. And food is a common denominator in all of our lives. It brings us all together. And so it's really about the conversations while we're traveling, or it could be, you know, your family discussions around the table and what comes up. So I'm making some really good food, serving some great drinks.
Did you make those cannolis?
I did. I filled them all earlier before I came.
I'm going to have one after this.
Yeah, definitely. So grab a cannoli, guys, before they're all gone. They're so yummy. And so it's been a lot of fun so far, and I hope you guys tune in.
When does this all kick off?
So we kicked off, my first intro was last week, and this week was a supplement, a second episode. And my husband and I go to Portugal and Spain, and so we talk about that trip and our food and our travels and how we travel and what brings us to these locations. It's usually we go where the good food is.
The food.
Yeah. Right.
And you guys have good banter like these two right here.
Well, that's the thing. When you do it with your spouse, it's fun because it's like a comfort zone and they get to hear your dynamics.
It is.
And you guys have some serious good dynamics.
We do. Right? Thank God. I mean, at the end of this month, it'll be 28 years.
Wow.
Yeah. 28 years
that's
together.
That's all right.
It's all good.
Anthony has grays too, but he dyes it.
This is Latin American dictator brown. Since you don't dye your hair, I can give you all the tips that you need.
Sid dyes his eyebrows.
That's good.
So...
Thank God she just said the eyebrow. Thank God she started there and ended there. Oh my God.
No, I don't go below the belt. Okay. I love food, so that's exciting to me. And Anthony and I actually did like a cooking show once for Fox Nation.
That's fun.
That was fun. So it was like delving into your territory.
Exactly. It's a lot of fun. I learned a long time ago that when you learn how to cook and you're good at it, you always have friends.
I know.
And it's not even the cooking with you. Your display is beautiful.
Yeah, it's
whole presentation.
An extension. Yeah, it's just, I love it to look pretty because you eat with your eyes first.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And so I like to do theme nights where I'm making everything Italian and then I'll play the music and the wine and the whole bit. Or we'll do, my husband's Lebanese, so we'll do a Middle Eastern night. And so it's that whole thing. I'll do Mexican, I'll do Latin, all different things. So it's a lot of fun, and I like to get into it and, talk about our travels at the same time. So
it sounds good. Everyone needs to tune in. And you need to have my aunt as a guest. She's an amazing cook and bake and chef and everything. She's amazing.
Yeah.
We've been kicked off of Fox now. I'm sorry.
Right.
It was looking good over there until we started fighting with the orange men.
Until he said I was crazy. Anyway.
Yeah.
Moving on. It always comes back to Trump.
No, I'm just saying that we can't get the cooking show anymore.
Stable genius.
The stable genius, yes. Okay, so Jack, tell us what your stuff is about.
Okay, so my podcast is called The Lookover Ladies, and it's me and a couple of my girlfriends, and it's sort of our platform to just let loose and talk about things that women love to talk about. We all have backgrounds in beauty, health, wellness, fashion, and it's we touch on all that, but then we always go off on tangents and just start talking random, sometimes inappropriate things that girls like to talk about.
So, what's an inappropriate thing? Go ahead. Do just
I
inquiring
don't know.
Minds
we talk
know.
About
something inappropriate, see.
Something
like
inappropriate,
sexual
like
something like
okay, all right, how pleasurable bidets can be sometimes.
Like you're having sex in the afternoon? What do you mean?
No,
like
by yourself on the bidet.
By yourself.
Oh wow!
No.
You need to have Anthony as a guest.
No, we
he specializes in.
Melissa just discovered the bidet, and she was explaining how.
So you said you weren't going below the belt. I mean, was right.
You, not our guest.
No, they just go off on tangents. Just things like that.
No, that's what makes
sometimes
people listen, though. Honestly, people listen when there's something
so
that
true.
They are hearing that they're like, "Oh my God, that has shock value," but I'm thinking that, but I'm not saying it.
Right.
So they'll listen to that.
Yeah. So for me, my life is very autism focused. I have a son with autism. I help families that are affected by autism all the time. I coach them into leading healthier and happier lives, and that's what I do all day long. Emails and connecting with these families. So this is sort of my life before the diagnosis and things that I was passionate about. And this is my kind of release to like let go of all that and just be a girl.
Yeah,
and
well, this
like
is you.
Girls
this
gone
is
wild.
You. Yeah, this is you as like this is Jack.
Yeah.
So not as a mom, not
Jackie,
as an autism
advocate. So because I know you do a lot of holistic nutrition and a lot of awareness about that. But do you think that the diet has a positive impact on your son? Because some people
with my son, absolutely. I saw a huge change in him with diet, for sure, and supplementation.
So that would be like less sugar and things like that?
Like gluten-free, casein-free, soy-free, limited sugar, cutting out the additives, food additives, and, you know, anything artificial, things like that. With my child, you know, some people, you know, every child's different, so everybody responds differently. But from what I've seen and from most of the families that I speak with, when they do this diet with their children, I see remarkable changes in them. Speech coming, different, you know, it's amazing watching the progress of the kids. So I think it's really important.
Think it's a big scientific contribution to the awareness of the disease, the nutrition aspects.
Yeah.
Go ahead, hon, I'm sorry.
No, I wanted to say that I was looking you up, and I know that you've had some trials and tribulations with your daughter as well.
And thankfully, she's doing great. She's 25. She just got engaged last week.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
He looks really nice.
He's a sweetheart. He's actually a Jersey City firefighter. So she's a two-time brain tumor survivor.
Right.
She was born with the cells for the brain tumor, and it surfaced at 10 years old.
Frank.
So she had her first brain surgery when she was 10. We were on the beach, and she never showed any signs of anything wrong, no learning disabilities, anything like that. It turns out she had a benign astrocytoma.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why it surfaced was because it was blocking off passageway, fluid. So she passed out. She fainted on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And we took her to the ER down in Florida because we were on vacation, and they did all the protocol and they were ready to send her home. And then the doctor she was an angel, and she just said, you know what, let's take a look, one more thing I want to do. And that's when they found it. And we were shocked, totally shocked. And then 10 years later, fast forward, she was in nursing school. She decided to, you know, go that career path because she wanted to give back. She felt a really strong connection to helping others and being that person, the person that comforted her during her time.
Her empathy.
Yeah. And so she was feeling like she was maybe that wasn't the career path for her because she couldn't concentrate. She couldn't focus in school. And it turns out 10 years to the day, her anniversary, she ended up back in the hospital. And a slight little bit of it had grown back. But thank God it's benign. And she's doing great. And she's feeling great. And she's still in nursing school. She has two more semesters left, and she'll be done. So, yeah.
Seeing your kids well is the hardest thing.
The
and
hardest
I appreciate that struggle for you every day. I'm sure it's hard, you know.
It does put your whole life into perspective.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your priorities, what's important, you know, and that's kind of like the feeling of my podcast too. It's about living life to the fullest and enjoying every day. When it's a good day, we have a saying in our house that's grab the good. Today's a good day, let's just go do it. And you know what, maybe it's not the right time, but it is the right time. Let's just do it.
Yeah, you live. You have to live.
Yep.
But these kind of things teach us to live, and
they're
gifts in small ways. Mm-hmm. But it's hard. Okay, well, I know I'm gonna be tuning in, right?
Yeah,
hopefully,
maybe you'll have me on as a guest. I like to cook, and I like to talk about nonsense and girl stuff. Aside from being a mom, so anytime you want me, I'm available.
Okay,
right? Is Anthony texting or something? Oh, he hasn't ADD'd out on us. Okay.
Finally, letting you talk. He just yelled at me 50 minutes.
Do you have any questions for this?
I'm listening very carefully. The brain tumor thing is one of the most shocking things ever, because my dad had one. Yeah. It was a benign brain tumor, thank God, and he was operated on 2002, so it's 17 years later, and he's still with us. I can only say this to people, like, they have to raise the awareness of these brain issues, because they are accelerating. Now, it may or may not be the cell phone, I'm not a scientist, but there are more brain disease, brain disorders, brain tumor issues now than there were 50 years ago. It could be the diet, Jackie. I don't know exactly what it is.
It plays a big part.
Yeah. So raising awareness of this, and I've spent a lot of time, and you know, Deirdre and I do this conference out in Las Vegas. We brought a MRI facility out there, and we did early detection awareness. And unfortunately for these issues, and thank God you were on top of this,
right,
the way that you save people's lives is catching it early.
Absolutely.
You know,
early detection.
And the thing is, especially with children, it's so hard because, you know, I had gone to the doctor previously before she was diagnosed with the tumor, that she was suffering from headaches But she was 10 years old. The doctor kept saying it was hormonal. Does it go away? Yes, it did. Yeah. So it wasn't anything to worry about. And she didn't have any learning disabilities, motor skill issues, or anything like that. So when it's your children, they go undiagnosed, unfortunately, until it, you know, to the point where it's almost too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and for my daughter, thankfully, it was benign, and it was in an area where they could get at it. They couldn't take it all out, of course, because it was attached to some, you know, vital brain function. But it's really, really important to pay attention to the signs, and really important to raise awareness, because we were so lucky. Exactly.
Yeah.
We were so lucky that we were in Florida, but we had some friends that were doctors living in New Jersey, and I just called him right away. And we were lucky to have the resource of that friend that said, okay, you're going to get her home, and I don't care what you do. So we charted a medical jet, because they told us in Florida that we couldn't transport her.
Mm-hmm.
And we were set to operate the next day in Florida. But when we got her home, we saw the doctor at Columbia Presbyterian at the Children's Hospital, and he was the chief of pediatric neurosurgery. And he says, I'm telling you right now, 99%, just judging by her films, this is benign.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just get in there, do what we have to do, and, you know, she'll be okay. He couldn't say she'll be okay, but he said it's benign. So I don't know what they told you in Florida, because they did. They told me that in some cases these could be benign. So I think that's really important. We're very lucky living in the tri-state area that we have those resources. But there's so many people that are living in the middle of the country or in the south, or they don't have the same resources that we do, and we see the same cases that we do. We're fortunate enough to be, you know, around. So
right. But the number one bottom line is if you have that instinct or that mother's intuition or parents' intuition, you have to go with it and be their advocate, even if you feel like you're being pushy.
Exactly.
You need to, because you most of the time you know when something's wrong with your kid.
Because their voices aren't heard.
No.
So, yeah.
But you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And so on a little bit of change of topic, but you moved to Vegas, right?
Yeah.
So we do our conference in Vegas, so hopefully you'll come see us.
Like I said.
But how is it? Do you like it?
I love it. And I think, you know, I lived there before, but I think a lot of it has to do with that I have a lot of family there. My parents are there, my brother, my nephews, my cousins, their kids. I have friends there. So to me, that makes a big difference. It's been my husband's family mostly.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a brother there that he's also in business with, but, you know, it's nice having my family around now.
Yeah, definitely. You know? They help
so
you a lot, right?
That, and the weather's great.
I know.
Everything's low. There's
no
so much
humidity
to do in a short space, you know. I haven't even been to the Strip since I lived there. Well, everything's on the outskirts.
Yeah, you don't really need to go there.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
that's where you go when guests come to visit.
Yeah, you bring them there. And but your hair always looks good there.
Yeah, you know, it stays straight. I blow dry it. Here it's like starting to get all frizzy.
Zero humidity.
What's happening?
I got to ask Justice Gorsuch if his hair looks good there. So,
see?
So let me ask you guys a question, though. It's your quiet time. Mm-hmm. You're not working, no podcast, no production. What do you like doing? Like, what is your thing that you would do?
Well, since the show, because I help a lot of families affected by autism, I went and got certified as an integrative health coach, and also studied functional medicine and toxicity, and got my autism mastery. And so that, with that information, I'm just doing that, more of that. And the rest of the time, I'm being a mom, I'm doing the podcast, and that's pretty
just
much...
Just being you.
Yeah, I'm busy. I'm busy a lot. My
Can
days
I
go by very
a
fast.
Can I question, selfishly? Did I dodge a bullet with the housewives?
I think you did.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it depends.
Curious.
I heard that rumor that maybe... Would you have done it?
The good old New York Post again.
I think I dodged the bullet. I don't know about her. I totally dodged the bullet.
Wait, you know what? The hardest part is, I mean, there's so many things involved with it. But
unfortunately, I got hit in the head with a White House bullet, but
right.
I dodged that.
Same thing.
Self-inflicted.
No, it's like that love. The people that watch, they have that love-hate relationship. So you're getting a lot of love or a ton of hate. Mm-hmm. I think you've already felt that.
Same in politics.
Right?
Exactly. I'm feeling it for the same people.
So if you're... you
the
get
people
numb.
That love me now hate me. The people that hate me now love me.
Right.
It's
you
very
get numb
weird.
To that after a while. And then it becomes almost humorous. And then you like to play with those people.
Sometimes. Or you just...
that's a good way to think about it. Yeah. I mean, a healthy way to look at it. Or else you go insane.
You can't
insane,
let it
right?
get to you, because you have to focus on the people that are in your daily life. The people that surround you, that you spend your most time with.
you know, the people on the outside that are saying things about you, can't let that bother you, because some people just like to say things in social media because they think it's funny for someone
they
else to
get
hear.
Your attention,
right. Not even just to get your attention, but oh, if I say this, other people will laugh. You know, it's not even really that personal sometimes, you know.
Right.
But people just like to, you know, to get it. It's just, you know, they just let loose on there, but they won't say it to your face mostly.
What do you
No one's ever been mean to my face.
No, that's true.
Let's be a little mean then, just out of curiosity. Yeah. What do you think of Sean Spicer on Dancing with Stars? Just out of curiosity.
You dodged that bullet too. I can't imagine you in a lime green fluffy.
No, come on, I have self-awareness.
Seinfeld top.
I said no to that.
You have self-awareness?
Well, I have a lack of self-awareness, but I must have got hit on a rock the day that came up.
Oh, that's awesome. You should have done that.
What would her lives have become if he did Dancing with the Stars and I did that? And I don't know what would happen there.
Well, I didn't want to do it, but my husband would have loved to do it.
What, Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, he would love to do it.
So
not so much the leotard part, but he would have loved to do it.
The whole everything else but the leotard.
Yeah. No underwear, no thong.
Once I realized what Housewives was, I really didn't want to do it, but I was stuck in
it. It was too late.
Pregnant, if you know what I mean.
I thought when we went on, it was just about our families, and then it got, I didn't know what was coming. It was always like, okay,
you were always looking
on?
Over your shoulder.
Yeah.
You're like, Karen, like,
oh,
who's
really?
At me?
Yeah, I had watched, but I really just thought that I took it that reality meant reality.
Right.
So you just go about your life.
Not their version
it's
of reality.
Right.
It's not scripted, but it's produced.
Exactly.
You put in situations you wouldn't normally put yourself in.
Well, the good thing about it is you both made it out alive.
We made it out alive.
We did, thank
and
God.
You have your own brands now.
Yeah,
and
we do.
Which are positive and, you know.
So if you use it for something positive,
right. It's
like
a platform
that,
to
it's
do
great.
Something good.
Exactly.
And
that's
you both made it out with,
that's
you
what,
know.
If you don't let it get to your head either.
Yeah, that
no.
was the good thing
well,
that came out of
not.
It for me was
no.
the platform it gave me to raise awareness for autism and take mm-hmm. action in that and helping other families.
Good for you.
That was the best thing that came out of it.
Well, I'm happy for you. Now you can move on and be doing your own thing and have your own platform.
Yeah. Now we're here with
makes you
guys.
Happy.
Yeah.
And I didn't get roped into it, so we're good to go. And, so we're going to tune in and listen to you guys. And
thank you.
We thank you for flying over here, flying up here, flying out here, and being with us at 4 o'clock on a Tuesday. And that's it.
You.
Do you have anything to say?
No, you're beautiful.
Yeah, we love. I love listening to your podcast.
You like,
podcast.
You like the hair? The hair is great, right?
I think it's so sassy.
Anthony doesn't like my hair, but he's lying.
And so no,
I
like
it.
It's unbelievable.
It's fine.
You have that face. You could do anything.
Right. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Guys like the long hair. Is that what it is? What is
guys like long hair?
I think that's so sexy.
This is like fake news. Okay, I actually like the hair.
Fake.
I said that I love the hair. She shows up with the hair. The hair looks stunning.
You know what, Anthony? Yeah. The good thing about it is it takes less time to do and more time to spend with you.
Amen.
The good thing
thank
about it
Kathy.
Is it grows
thank
back.
Thank you, Kathy. That's good.
So,
but here,
anyway,
on and
off.
Thank you.
Here's the thing.
What?
Okay. The best thing that ever happened to me, that one right there.
Oh, thanks.
And that's the truth.
He's good.
And again, I'll have flowing locks one day
Keeper.
To make you
Keeper.
Happy again. All right, so we are going to get on to some real news. Do you want to sit with us, or do you want to go back to your man? And
where are they going
to
sit?
Well, you could sit with us and talk about vaping.
Let's give a shout-out to Let's give a shout-out to Dolores.
Oh, yeah.
She showed up.
Some fellow alum.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for letting me.
So we're going to talk about a news topic because that's what we do. But I guess this week we're talking about.
No,
we're
going
to talk about vaping because it's appropriate for them, too.
Yeah, that's really good.
So what do you think about this whole vaping nightmare?
Someone just asked me to endorse a vaping.
Oh, you cannot do that.
I did say no.
Oh, you have to say no. Because kids like it. It's like flavored.
Right.
And I see it all over the place. It's in every, what do you want to call it? Like corner store, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call
it's
them.
It's everywhere.
And
convenience store.
And I think it's terrible because it's like, oh, I'm going to have a mango whatever. And they're all getting lung infections and they're getting sick. And it's
and
like
it's
a
really
masked.
Scary.
But wait,
how
does that compare to
cigarette.
The hookah?
To who? A hookah?
Well, the way I look at a hookah, you can't stick it in your purse.
Well, nobody's walking around on
it.
The street
exactly.
with a hookah. They would look
right.
insane.
Right. So that's the thing there. You can only do it. You can't.
You do that when you go to
bowls.
Like a
exactly.
bar for a hookah.
Right.
You know,
so that's
Vegas
the only
has a lot of
because I could say, you know, my kids, they do smoke hookah and up to, you know, every now and again, I'll catch a vape from my son. And I'm like, okay, this got to stop. And I keep sending him
Oh, the articles.
All the articles.
That's
okay,
what we
Mom,
do.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It's over. I quit. I'm not doing it anymore. That's it. And you have to keep on your kids. He's 23 years old, and I don't really give a shit. You have to still stay on your kids no matter what.
He's young. You have to stay on them. Yeah.
It's not like he's an adolescent. He's a grown man.
No, but you still have to steer them in the right direction.
I will wear the title Helicopter Mom for sure, always, every day, all the time.
So now they call it snowplow. Like, you don't even helicopter. You just plow the way for them. And
my husband.
Oh, okay. So you're the snowplow. You're the helicopter.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more delicate in my approach. Yeah. Okay. He's the snowplow.
I mean, New York is trying to totally get rid of it. I feel like I read about Gavin Newsom every day, but he's saying that he can't get rid of it. It's not his, like, he doesn't have the power to do that, which I don't get why, but... New York is getting rid of it, and I'm happy because I don't want my son rolling up to the convenience store and saying, can I have like a watermelon vape thing, because he thinks he doesn't know any better. I mean, he's five, hopefully he's not doing that, but well, then we'll have some real problems.
He's five?
Yeah.
He's going to roll up with his big wheel?
He has a bit, with his training wheels. But no, but I mean, I'm just saying that it's going to go from that to the next thing. So I hope they do something about it, because we have enough problems.
Me too.
But I mean, that just goes back to the whole gun thing and all that. You know, we have so many problems. We don't need to worry about an extra thing, a vape. So you have any opinion, Anthony? So quiet.
No, I'm listening. I hate it. I mean, my thing is that there's just not a lot of science on how damaging it is. And so... there are certain companies are saying that their delivery system is less damaging. The people that are getting very sick are from the rogue companies where they're not really regulated and they're manufacturing these things in their homes and things like that. But even still, I think you have to raise awareness. I mean, the one problem that the society, again, my personal opinion, we have this whataboutism in our society now, right? So if you bring up the vaping, someone will say, well, what about the mass murders and the... literally the domestic terrorism, or what about this, or what about that? And I sort of think we got to get to what is ism, like what is ism, and just focus on each issue one at a time, not conflate the issues, and say, okay, this is what we have to do. And we're so focused on left-leaning policies or right-leaning policies. How about right or wrong policies?
Exactly.
You know, forget about left and right. Like, what is the best thing to do for the society? And so when are we going to collectively move? Because many people, unfortunately, are very indifferent to the political process. We got a mayor in New York City. I think the guy is an unmitigated disaster. I don't know how you guys feel. The guy's ridiculous. You know, 0% rating as a presidential candidate. You walk down the street, it's filthy. No one's doing better. I can't find anybody in New York City that likes the guy. But we have these left-leaning policies. Okay, so again, I don't think the right-leaning policies are the answer either, but just right or wrong policies. If the vaping, we don't know enough science about it, put it on hold. I'm a libertarian by nature. If you want to vape and it's safe, I mean, it's not going to kill you the moment you smoke it, you want to do that to yourself and your body, I sort of feel like, okay, what can I do? I'm not in the nanny state business. The flip side is, and everybody in this room probably knows this, but the sugar industry prevented the Obama administration, maybe you know this from your nutrition background, from putting the carbohydrates and the recommended daily allowance together. So soda can is about 150% of the sugar that you're supposed to have in the day. But if you go look at the soda can, you see the number of grams of carbohydrates, but you don't see the percentage component. That's because the special interest groups within the sugar lobby beat down the Obama administration, went after two or three congressmen that were supporting it, got them unelected. And the Obama administration capitulated. And I'm not blaming the Obama administration. Believe me, it's the Trump administration, the Bush administration, the Clinton. I'm just saying it's a system that is really not serving the public anymore. It's a morosely broken system.
And that's where I think that us as parents have to come in and really be that helicopter mom, be that snowplow dad. You have to be there doing your part, too. You know, because a lot of times that stuff's getting lost at home.
Uh-huh. Yep.
All right. Well, we're gonna call Sid Rosenberg.
I thought
the
he
legendary.
Did he leave?
No, he's right here. He's
I thought he was like, forget this.
Himself.
I'm out of here.
Food. All right.
Oh,
okay. So we're gonna call the legendary Sid Rosenberg up.
The legendary.
Talk a little bit of talk radio, sports, and policy. But you guys, Arthur, thank you so much for coming.
Thank
you,
ladies.
I'm looking forward
to
the podcast.
Good luck to you guys. Okay.
Thank you. I can't wait to listen to your podcast.
If you order Deirdre a vodka martini, you know, like a.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah.
Get her a dirty martini before she comes on your podcast. It'll be up.
Oh,
it'll be more interesting.
Yeah, keep them coming.
Then it gets crazy. Things get crazy.
Come on, go in the middle, bro. Go in the middle.
What is the skin product that I use?
So, hi, Sid.
Hi, how are you?
How you doing?
So, I got to tell you.
Yeah. What is this thing like? You have like...
What's that?
You have like a napkin in the pink.
I know.
Like a look?
I'm from Brooklyn. I have no class.
I don't know.
So, I'm a huge baseball fan, so Brian Cashman being here was a big deal, even though I'm a Met fan. But I got to tell you, to Kathy and Jacqueline, I am addicted, and Anthony knows this, to the Bravo channel. I watch every Real Housewives, whether it's Atlanta, New York, New Jersey. I was filling your husband in on the New York girls when the rumors were you were going to that show.
Oh, okay.
They all hate me because I like Trump. But the New Jersey girls, Teresa's been on my show a million times.
Right, they're from a different political spectrum
right.
than the New York girls. Yeah, the New Yorkers are always liberals.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm glad that you like that. Anthony likes E. He prefers E, Entertainment Network.
I like E.
Like Kardashian.
I like that.
That
a good
genre.
Show.
Yeah.
I like
he never misses.
I like their skin products and plastic surgeon. Don't
he likes
judge
botched.
Me, okay?
I slather it
He
on.
Has a perfect nose, so he likes to watch those shows where everyone has bad noses like me.
I like them, too.
So what do you guys want to talk, what do you guys talk about on your show? I mean, you have had me on your show, but we talked about like silly stuff. So what do you,
right.
what do you and like cerebral people like Anthony talk about when he comes on your show?
Well, this is different. Usually Anthony is on our show and you've been on as well on Wednesdays and I interview Anthony. Now,
so
we've
now we're in the reverse.
We turn the tables.
So,
yeah.
So I want
to, we have to
I
ask probing questions.
Well, we talk about Trump. I work with a guy that loves Donald Trump. As Anthony and Deirdre, you know, Bernard loves him, formerly the Imus in the Morning Show. He can do no wrong. I'm more of down the middle. I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I thought he ran one of the most childish and dumbest campaigns I'd ever heard. He said two things. We're going to build a wall and something else. I don't know. But I got
no
to the
collision.
Point where I started to like Donald Trump, even though I didn't vote for him. And I still do. I mean, I agree with a lot of things that Anthony says about Donald Trump. Some of the critiques I do agree with. But in the end, I can never see myself... voting for a Joe Biden
right.
or a Liz Warren or a Kamala Harris. So even with all of his warts, and he's got plenty, he's going to be my guy in 2020 unless somebody really amazing comes along.
Right, but okay, I like how you actually point out his stuff. Like, you're like me. So you like this, but you don't like that, and then you'll say you don't like that. You're not like blind allegiance where you say, oh, that's amazing, even though it's the dumbest thing you've ever heard.
It's true.
Right?
Yes,
so
you're right.
That's what I like about you. I see your Twitter feed, and I'm like, yes, thank God. There's somebody that sees him for who he is, rights and wrongs and all the things.
Well, you know what
between.
It is, Deirdre? Political fans are like sports fans. Like, I've got friends who love their baseball team, their football team, and they love them no matter what. And every once in a while, you have to come to the realization, the Knicks suck. It's just the way it is.
Right.
I love them, but they suck. You can't go on and go, no, they're good. They lost 65 games. So there's nothing wrong with loving somebody, some team, some person.
Okay, but let me
but
challenge that
for
because it's a sports team and it's entertainment. But when the president sucks and you're really evaluating, you're looking down in a very detailed policy situation and you know everybody in the cabinet and you know that the cabinet officials say you can't manage a process and you can't go from point A to point B, or he can't get people in a room and develop a consensus, or he has no intellectual curiosity so he won't read this, and you have a Saudi Arabian airstrike that just took place, and you know that the Russians are involved with the Iranians, and they were teamed up with the Turks this afternoon talking about rewriting the Syrian constitution, and you know from everybody in the Pentagon, because you've been on troop support missions all over the world, you've been to Afghanistan and Iraq, and you've worked with all these people, and you know that he's destroying the hard and soft power of the United States while we're sitting here right now, and he's devolved the United States from its superpower existence 2.5 short years ago into allowing all these regional powers to create their own micro arms races. And he acts like a complete bully to everybody
He's
in
now
the civilization.
Entered therapy for Anthony.
I'm just asking.
He's venting.
I'm just asking a question. So what do you say to all that?
A lot of that is true.
If he can remember any of it.
Look, a lot of that is true. Now, look, I knew a lot of those things about Donald Trump before. I'm not really all that surprised about the things that Donald Trump does. I don't set my hair on fire. I don't get crazy because I kind of knew these things. I've always kind of looked at them like...
Your hair? No offense.
But... Well, I did have hair.
Oh, okay.
Just like your husband. But, well, thank you for that. So so I don't get all that surprised. I don't get all that upset because
man.
I knew coming in this was going to be the case. Look, he is a bully. There's no question about it. But I will take that over the feckless leadership I had for 8 years with the guy before him. When I have to watch Americans get killed abroad, and I would watch Obama, the first thing this guy would say is, now we're going to get him. Whether you get him or not, the first thing he would say is, hey, be nice to your Muslim friends. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. So he's a bully. He says the wrong things. He has done some of the things you've talked about. But still, there's something about this guy that for me, and I don't love him, but for me has restored some type of, I'm beating my chest because I'm American. I didn't feel like that with Barack Obama for 8 years. I really didn't.
Let's talk about the Saudi situation for a sec, and then we'll drink heavily. That's what we're probably going to do after this. But let's talk about the Saudi situation for a sec. So you got airstrikes. Yep. It's likely that the Houthis did right. create those airstrikes. And there's a very strong possibility, no one's talking about it on TV right now, but there's a strong possibility that they ship the drones into Saudi and they deliver those drones to the Shias, who, remember, 23% of the population in Saudi is Shia, and those drones lifted off from Saudi airspace into those refineries. Okay, you realize that this is a nightmare going on, right?
No, I do realize this.
So, okay, and the president, go ahead.
Let me ask you this. First of all,
the fact that there's no national security process anymore, and he has a very stable brain, and he's a stable genius, and he said he doesn't need a national security advisor because he's going to make all the decisions anyway.
Well, I mean, Pompeo's going to make some of those decisions too. That's.
But I know. Ask Secretary Pompeo if he makes.
Well, let me ask you this.
You
know, look, the drone thing.
You're okay with him running the whole process himself?
No, I'm not okay with
after
it.
After Eisenhower, through Reagan, Johnson, Nixon, everybody set up a national security apparatus and a protocol to defend and protect the citizens of the United States. But you're okay with him ripping that entire thing up, throwing it in the garbage and saying, look, I'm a very stable genius. I'm the smartest person here. And so I'll call the shots and make all the decisions in a vacuum. And by the way, I'm not going to read anything that my intelligence service puts in front of me.
Listen,
you're okay with it.
I'm not okay with it.
I just want to make sure that I understand where we are.
But he doesn't play nicely with his friends. We know that already. Who knows better than you? I mean, this guy goes through people in that White House. He's on his fourth national security advisor, right? I mean, if he even has a fourth, he is going through people at an unprecedented rate. He likes to do things by himself. This is not anything new. Now, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
If you were in his position, and you laid it out perfectly between the Saudis and the Houthis and the Iranians, what would you do? See, what I'm really afraid of, above and beyond this, is the drones that did this attack. What is going to stop some crazies here in the United States, using those drones to bomb us?
Okay. It's too long of a conversation, but I just say this, okay? Because I've really tried to study the thing. I wasn't a fan of the Iranian deal and the nuclear deal. But this is the first time in U.S. history where an American president abrogated his predecessor's deal without any diplomatic thought process and without any corollary or ancillary plan.
It's a bad deal, though. I don't care.
Okay, but you say that. But there was a 3 to 5 year period of time under the deal.
Anthony's drawing stick figures on.
No. I'm drawing so I don't bite the pen.
Okay.
I'm just saying there was a 3 to 5 year time period during the deal where had he had given it a little bit of time, he could have come up with a secondary plan, Sid.
Well, I can tell you
this. You would not be in the situation. The number one job in that position, frankly, is to make sure all regional areas of the world are de-escalating. If you want to study it over a 75-year period of time, we're not that much smarter than our grandparents. And guys like George Marshall and Dean Atkinson, the goal was to make sure that we had regional de-escalation everywhere and also to make sure that the Americans projected military superiority because we believed in the benevolency of our democracy. The notion of telling other people to arm up and pay your fair share and do this, that, and the other thing, our ancestors, and you can read The Guns of August, or you can study Dean Atkinson's book, our ancestors stood that by arming up, people end up using the arms, and they end up putting innocent people in harm's way. And what we know about the fog of war and the uncertainty of war, it never goes the way you expect, okay? Dick Cheney said 4 months we'll be out of Iraq. They put the mission accomplished signs up at the aircraft carrier in San Diego in 2003, May of 2003. The invasion started in March of 2003. We had the mission accomplished signs up. Okay, it's 18 years later. We've got 10,000 troops in Iraq right now trying to put down the sectarian violence. So I'm just saying, yeah, I mean, the point is someone's got to really look at it and analyze it and also have some historical context. You know, I asked the president once on the campaign, do you know what the Sykes-Picot Treaty is? Anybody know what the Sykes-Picot Treaty is? Raise your hand if you know what the Sykes-Picot Treaty is. Nobody knows. Treaty was put in place 100 years ago. I know you're going to interrupt.
I have no idea.
Because he's told me 5,000
times. But I'm just saying, if you don't know what the Sykes-Picot Treaty is, put in place 100 years ago, designed to create a border dispute everywhere in the Middle East, if you don't know that, and now you're watching this thing play out because it's all tribalism, bring somebody in that can actually explain it to you and then offer you a policy solution that can contain and suppress the violence. Because if it goes full-on kinetic, American troops are going to be involved again. There may probably people's families here that are going to be affected. We're fatigued from 18 years of war. So we're going to fight the Iranians now. You can't even get the troops in a position to go after the Iranians.
I don't think it's going to escalate to that. I think, look, one of the things that Donald Trump did run on was he's not an interventionist. He doesn't want to, you know, be in wars all over the world. He doesn't want to do all that stuff. I don't think it will. I hear your concern, and it's a legitimate concern, and your critique is a legitimate critique, but you knew this. You knew this 2 years ago that he wasn't able to work with people in and around him.
Well, okay, so again, I just can tell you my life experience. We didn't think he was going to win. There's not one person on the campaign thought he was going to win, including him, if you really want to tell the truth. The day after he won, we met with him. He put the transition team together, which I was on. And at that point, he was probably scared out of his mind. So he was listening to people.
Okay.
Okay, and he did put Mattis in place, and he did put Tillerson. People forget about him, but Tillerson was a very accomplished guy.
Dumb as a rock.
Okay, until Trump started demeaning him because of the low self-esteem. He's got to demean every single person in the room around him, right? Because he feels terrible about himself. He's looking at you saying, well, you're more accomplished than me. Let me take you down to my size. Self-esteem of a small pigeon. Let me take you down to my size. So then people had to leave.
Yeah.
Okay, and so now you're surrounded by sycophants and enablers. You tell me. I think it's a recipe for a disaster for the United States. And I love the country, don't care about the partisanship of the whole thing. Let's tell the people the truth, then they can make an informed decision.
Okay, so okay. I no longer watch or read the news because it's just too much for me. So I read things like this story, Sid. I'm going to ask you what you think about this woman swallowing her engagement ring. Did you read this?
I saw that.
Could you read the post? So that was in the post.
In a dream,
is that bad for the husband, though, baby? I'm just asking. She's eating the ring.
No. She thought she was...
Which means coming out in her poopy. So I'm just saying this. That's probably bad for the husband.
She's coming out in the what? What did he say?
Coming out of the poop,
if I'm swallowing the ring, it's coming out of my poopies.
Yeah.
No, she had it removed before that happened. She was having an intense dream where she thought she was like on some Mission Impossible train and she was being hijacked. So she swallowed it.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, I wouldn't be angry about that.
Would you upset with you?
With Danielle,
wife,
would you
if she
be
like
mad at
ate her?
Her
wedding ring and then like
if she ate my wedding ring, would I be upset with my wife?
No, you would laugh. It's kind of funny. Just,
look, here's the thing with my wife.
Is there some metaphorical significance to that?
No, she was having a dream.
And I think a lot of guys would appreciate that.
She definitely took some Ambien.
She's supposed to be here tonight, my wife Danielle. And you guys both know Danielle.
Yes,
you both like
and
her.
I like her
so
a lot.
And she loves you guys too. So I get an email from Danielle. Like
she's
5 minutes
the stable
ago.
Genius in the relationship.
She is.
I'm the stable genius
you're
in
very,
my relationship.
You know, it's very similar.
That's true.
The dynamic is very similar.
Yeah.
So she sends me an email 5 minutes ago. She goes, I'm on the way home. I'm not going to make it. So the first thing I think of is, oh, shit, what did I do? I swear to God.
Aww.
I'm like, she's mad at me. Damn it, what did I do now? And and I'm married for 27 years. There's not a time or a day that goes by when my wife doesn't do something like that when I start to freak out. And I'm not sure if that's a guilty conscience, or if in fact I really screwed up. But that's where I am with Danielle. So she can swallow the ring, she can smack up the car, she can fly to Hawaii tomorrow and not tell me about it and spend $20,000.
And you're fine with that. As long as she's not mad at you and she loves you.
Please don't go to Hawaii with her. Okay?
That my biggest fear in life is not. It's not work. It's not. It's not even disease. It's Danielle being mad at me. I don't know about you, Anthony, but I can't handle it. I don't know how to handle. I don't.
That
know
what
is
to do. A sign of true love.
I can't handle.
Well, fear. Chaz Palminteri once said, "It's better to be feared or be loved." Right? Exactly. So.
Trust me. There's a lot of fear.
My assistant's in the back. She has a personal relationship with Manhasset florist. Right.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean, you know, we get more.
Yeah, I get a lot of flowers. But it's a good thing because our sons think that's a nice thing to do now.
Neil's playing the music. You've been in radio for how many years?
I've been in the radio now for 22 years.
Does my wife have the chops?
She is awesome. She's got a great sense of humor. She's smart. Her timing is perfect. She should be on TV because she's gorgeous.
Aw, thanks, but she's
great on the radio. Great. One quick thing.
That's why Sid's on the radio. He knows what to
Before
say.
Neil lets me go, you know, the Giants today benched Eli Manning. And if you're not a sports fan, you don't care, but if you do, you care. So they're going to start this rookie, Daniel Jones, out of Duke. 2004, the Giants named Eli Manning the starting quarterback in like week 9, Anthony. They had a very good veteran quarterback, a Hall of Famer, in Kurt Warner, and Tom Coughlin just benched him. They had a winning record. He went to the rookie, Eli Manning. I remember it so well because my daughter was born.
Aww.
Right then.
You
my first child,
morning.
Ava, was
that.
Born
I saw
right
that
there.
On your Twitter feed.
Yeah, yeah. That was my last full year at WFAN when I made the transition from sports to politics and news, and my daughter was born that year. So that's how long Eli Manning has been around with the Giants. She's about to have a Sweet 16.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You talk about
God
longevity.
Bless Eli Manning, though. He had a great, great run in New York, so God bless him. And your best run is yet to come, man. God bless
thank
you.
Thank
and
you
guys,
so
thank you very much. We got food, drinks, everything. Let's hang out. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you guys for being here.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.